Holtz, along with my co-host in Santa Clarita, California, Bobby Jean Bell, and you're listening to the Campfire Cafe on Equestrian Legacy Radio.
He was the new kid on the circuit, gold buckles in his eyes, but the horse he drew was plenty rank, and much to his surprise, he did a double backflip, landed on his head. This old cowboy limped out in the ring, leaned over him and said, "You better cowboy up when you get thrown down. Get right back in the saddle as soon as you hit the ground. You've heard that the tough get going. He was among the best, so he proudly called the girl back home, hoping she would be impressed. But her mama said she married the guy he used to call his friend. And before the first tear could fall, these words came back again. You better cowboy up when you get thrown down. Get right back in the saddle. It's the only way to go whenever you bite the dust. Better cowboy up when you get thrown down. Get right back in the saddle.
That's Joni Harms, and it should have been Cowgirl Up. Bobby, how are you this morning?
I'm great. How are you this morning?
Doing well. Doing well. You know, yeah, it is a great way to start the show. And hey, you remember last Thursday was the first day of fall, and we were in the 90s back here in Tennessee, and you were in the almost triple digits, I think, in California. Guess what the temperature is back here in Tennessee this morning?
75.
48 degrees when I got up.
Oh, you know what? I was going to say 44, and I thought, no, it can't be.
Yeah, fall was just about a week late in getting here, but it got here. And so beautiful, beautiful weather. Going to be a nice day out here as we go up into the upper 60s, a little bit below normal for us. And so your weather okay in California?
Yeah, we actually looks like we have a beautiful day here today. Yes.
Yes, well, I think
sunshine and blue sky. And yeah, we got a typical Southern California day today.
Yeah, well, I think, as you say, it's always a beautiful day out west, so.
Yes, it is.
A little play
it's
on
always
words there.
It's always a great day out west.
A great day out west. A great day out west. Yep. We got two birthdays today from some of our friends. Teresa Paro Dale is having a birthday today. And also our good friend, our rock star cowgirl, Templeton Thompson, has a birthday today. So happy birthday to those two ladies. And we have a special guest that's joining us today. And I'm excited about our guest today. Who do we have joining us?
We have Miss Andrea Kidd, cowgirl poet galore, joining us.
going to be a lot of fun talking with Andrea. And what would it be like to have Templeton and Andrea in the same room together?
Oh my gosh, that would be a whole lot of fun.
There'd be so much energy there. I don't think I could stand it. There'd be so much energy going on in the room. But anyway, we're looking forward to talking with Andrea in just a moment. And we do want to thank our sponsors. We couldn't do these shows without them. And those are the sponsors you'll find on our website at equestrianlegacy.net. The fine sponsors in the general store, where you'll find everything for the horse lover and folks that just love the Western and equestrian lifestyle. And our Legacy Select horse campgrounds and guest ranches for the finest riding destinations in North America. Be sure and visit with our sponsors and our friends on the horse campgrounds and guest ranches you'll find on our website, and by our equestrian property specialist that you'll find. If you're looking for a new home on the range or any type of equestrian property, be sure and check with the realtors that you'll find on our website, and you'll find all of those at equestrianlegacy.net. So, Bobby, do you have your coffee ready?
Yes, I have something very tasty here. Yes, indeed.
That sounds interesting.
My husband just handed me a very tasty, I think it's a coffee mocha.
All right.
Oh, it's a marciato. He just corrected me, yes.
All right. Well, we're going to invite all of our friends out there to grab their cup of coffee and take a deep seat in the saddle. And when we come back, we're going to be talking with Andrea Kidd. You're listening to the Campfire Cafe on Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
Rolling off green pastures to where the sagebrush meets the pine, we'll do our bidding to the land we'll leave behind. Welcome in the highlands and the summer day so long, little piece of heaven sitting on the cowboy's throne, looking for the solace in mine. Smile as I listen to my pony's cricket roll. From the misty haze of twilight, when the night horse rings her bell, roll it up, saddle up and hit that loving trail, ride off towards the mountains and the snow-capped covered peaks, hoping that beyond the pass you're waiting there for me to put an end to this long and lonely road. Smile as I listen to my pony's cricket roll. Deserts of Nevada to the streams in Idaho, paradise to Kami-Hi, these trails all lead you home. And I'm through with days of wandering, so I'm coming home to stay. The only view I need is looking through the ears of that old bay, waiting for the solace in my soul. Smile as I listen to my pony's cricket roll. I found the solace in my soul. Smile as I listen to my pony's cricket roll.
Welcome back to Campfire Cafe. We've been listening to Trinity Seeley's Cricket Roll, and now we are going to welcome our guest this morning, Andrea Kidd. For over 40 years, Andrea has lived and trained horses in Ventura County, California, and she has been inspired by her life experiences on the CESPE, the outback of Ventura County. This has inspired all of her cowboy poetry. Her story poems about horses, ranches, and rodeos bring her cowgirl lifestyle and the great American West into your heart and on a journey down the Americana Trail. Andrea is a professional horse trainer, equine appraiser, cowgirl, and poet. Her work has been published in Horse and Rider magazine and can be found on the prestigious home for the best of cowboy poetry, cowboypoetry.com. In 2012, she released her first CD, CESPE Sky, and a second follow-up in 2014, CESPE Lullaby. Both albums were produced by Affirm Records and contain selections from her books, Kaleidoscope, Poems for the Heart, and Big Sky, Poems for the Spirit. With musical accompaniment from notable recording artists and inspired production composition, both CDs take the listener into the heart of this true, real-deal working cowgirl. Her infectious laugh, sparkling eyes, and high-energy persona are just a few of the things I love about this gal I am honored to call my friend. Her megawatt smile lights up even the brightest of spaces, and her spirited can-do attitude turns tasks into playtime. Her love of horses and people bubbles up and over everything she does. Please welcome to Campfire Cafe my favorite cowgirl, whose Western fashion sense is unrivaled, whether on horseback or on stage, Andrea Kidd.
Well, Andrea, welcome to the show.
Well, I'm glad to be there. Thank you so much for the great introduction, Bobby Jean.
Good morning, Miss Andrea. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I just got back in from feeding the horses and doing a few chores up the canyon. I'm looking out for some horses for a friend of mine on their ranch. They're out of town, so I stepped in. I'm the horse nanny for a couple days.
Oh, gosh. Well, we're going to have a big time talking with you about horses and about your life and about your poetry and sharing your poetry with our audience today. But you've had a fascinating life. And let's just go back to early childhood and tell us a little bit about where you grew up and some of your life experiences that have influenced what you do today.
Well, I've had a busy life. I was born in East Los Angeles, down by Brooklyn Avenue, which is now Cesar Chavez Avenue. And my daddy was a medical student, and our landlords were Rita and Jimmy Jimenez, and they would look after me once in a while. So I ate tortillas and learned some Spanish before I was really on the Anglo food. and then my daddy, after he graduated from medical school and finished his internship, he took a job up in Chico, California. And I loved being up there. You know, Chico's a beautiful country. There's plenty of horses to look at. And then my dad answered a call to the mission field. And we sailed on a freighter out of San Francisco Bay. I remember I was 3 years old. We went under the Golden Gate Bridge. And then it was 29 days before we saw land again.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And our first landfall was the Philippines. And they offloaded some freight, you know, obviously. And then we jogged over to Saigon. And that was at the end of the French colonial era, and it was during the conflict of the Vientiane. And I remember we all had to go down in the hold of the ship because the ship in front of us had been fired on. So we made our stop safely and departed Saigon and sailed into Bangkok Harbor. And that was before there was really docks or anything. Our personal possessions were put on a barge, offloaded onto a barge. And we actually came down the gangplank onto a launch. And we were taken across the harbor there. And I remember looking down from the ship and seeing a boa constrictor, I mean, several miles, you know, out in the water, swimming along. And I know my mom must have just about swallowed her tongue. And yeah, they just offloaded us on this little dock. I mean, it was real authentic back then. It was great. And then we stayed in Bangkok for a few months while my parents did, you know, the language and instruction and getting orientated. And then we went up to northeast Thailand in Ubon for 5 years.
Wow. Wow. Well, you were, I think you told me you were riding horses even then, weren't you?
Oh, yes. I started riding when I was 2 years old. My mom would take me over to Griffith Park, and I would ride the ponies over there. So I was 3 years old when I told my grandma that I was going to be a horse trainer. And everywhere I went, I was always looking for horses. So by the time I landed in Southeast Asia as a little kid, you know, I was well into my passion for horses. But the first time I ever got bucked off, I got bucked off. I must have been five. The neighbor kids came over with a quai, you know, a water buffalo. And I went, heck, it's got four legs. And so I climbed aboard, and it just had a rope, just like the rodeo I'd seen. And so I gave it a couple kicks, and I lasted about five jumps, and then I was in the dirt.
Oh, wow. 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 That reminds me of a picture I posted. My dad passed away 19 years ago, and I posted a couple of pictures on Facebook of him the other day. And he was riding his little Black Angus calf with just a bale and twine. Yeah, yeah, that reminds me of him. He'd ride anything that
cowboy.
He could get on.
That's it.
Oh gosh, so
that was
funny.
A great picture, by the way.
Well, thanks. That's kind of a special picture for me and my family. But did you find horses while you were in Thailand?
I did. Right across the road, there was a post. Kind of like what we would think of like the National Guard or Army Post. Mm-hmm. And our little town had been headquarters for the Japanese during World War II. So across the way, there was, you know, barracks and things like that. And they had horses that were tethered out. And so every chance I got, I snuck over there to see those horses. And my favorite one was this bay gelding. And, of course, I was, you know, just little thing. And he was the kindest horse. And, of course, the Army guys, they would be peeking around the corner, keeping an eye on me, making sure I didn't get in trouble or probably try to steal them. They didn't want to have to hang the five-year-old for being a horse thief.
Right. That is so cool. That is so cool. Well, we're going to go right into one of your poems. And this is one that I kind of, you know, it's a little girl with her daydream. And it's called Once Upon a Daydream. And it's by Andrea Kidd. So we're going to come back and talk with Andrea some more in just a moment on the Campfire Cafe.
Once upon a daydream, a long, long time ago, a little child rode horses everywhere she'd go. Some were snow-white chargers, others black as night, Some she rode to cattle in the misty morning light. Some wore bowling saddles, some wore vaquero tack. Some would buck and some would rodeo while she rode upon their back. Once upon a daydream, when she was just a child, she could see herself ride horses, fast and free and wild. There were Nevada Mustangs she would tame and then she'd ride. A cowgirl born, a cowgirl bred, she'd be one till she died. Barrel racing, cowboy chasing, hoofbeats on the wind, lovely prancing, pretty horses, and the buckles that she'd win. She shared her deepest secrets and her cowgirl hopes and dreams, and cried away her heartbreak in her horse's silky mane. Once upon a daydream became the life she knows. She's training pretty horses and winning buckles at the shows. So don't give up your fantasies or those daydreams that you weave. A cowgirl's dreams can all come true if only she believes. Go ahead and dream your dreams, build on fantasies. A cowgirl's dreams will all come true if only she believes. Never give up, always believe.
Well, Andrea, when you left Thailand after 5 years and you were finished with the water buffalo and the milk horses, where did you and your family come back to? California?
We did. We came back to Southern California, and we stayed with my grandmother in Alhambra for a while. And of course, once again, you know, horses were in the forefront of my mind. And when we got our house, we moved to Seal Beach, California. It was very rural back then. Some of the stores were only open during beach season. And one of my schoolmates, her daddy was really great in horses. And he had bought her a mare off the reservation. And so weekends, we were out there riding Frenchie, this mare, and it was just like heaven on earth for me. It was just wonderful. And we rode and rode and rode. I mean, there was orchards, there's open fields. Huntington Beach wasn't that far away. Some of the Dutch boys, there's a lot of dairy farmers out in our area at the time, and most of the dairy farmers were Dutch. Those boys learned to drive at an early age, so they would hook their horses up to a wagon and go across the fields to the beach and pick up sand, and that's how we sanded our pens.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and then my friend's dad, he was a businessman, and he would go to the auctions, and you could buy ponies for $25. And he would buy a stock trailer full of ponies, and we would come to the barn, and he'd go, "Look what I got you guys," and he'd give us all brand new halters and lead rope, and he goes, "You can ride these ponies as much as you want." Of course, they weren't broke, but they were by the time we were done with them, and then he would sell them for a profit. But I remember he had pictures, like back in the day when they would take the Super 8, you know, movie cameras. He had pictures of me going bucking across the arena, and then I'd stay pretty good, and then that pony would drop his shoulder or make a turn, and I'd go flying off, you know. I ate more real estate than I would ever own.
That's so funny.
But it was all bareback. It was all in halter, you know, halter and lead rope. So, you know, we learned to ride. We learned to stick pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you, when did you get your first horse?
I didn't own, you know, have like title to my own first horse till I was 20 years old. And what I did was before that, I wanted a horse really bad. And of course, I was around horse people. And they said, you know what? You know how to ride. Go get a job on a rent string. When you've ridden everything and helped him make money, you know, maybe rehabilitated some of the horses, and then they can sell them, and that pays for the other horses that are, you know, toting the dudes around, then move on, and they'll start giving you better and better horses. And that's exactly what happened. And so my first horse was a registered Appaloosa named Chocolate Jip Jansen. And I was so excited when I got his registration papers, because he had, you know, good lineage, and it was a great horse. And I didn't recognize all the names of the owners that had owned him before, but, you know, I understood he had some good training. And it wasn't till years later that I realized that the person that had bred the horse was another fellow WMA member, Rusty Richards.
How about that?
Oh, my gosh.
How about that?
And when I met him in Albuquerque, my first convention, I went up and talked to him, and the look on his face was like, oh, my gosh, you got that horse. And that horse was really well-trained. That was he was actually more horse than I was, you know, schooled for. I mean, I was a good rider, but I didn't have as much polish as somebody that had been, you know, coming up through the levels. And so I kept that horse for a while. I learned a lot from him. Then I sold him to a man who had the skills and the background, because this horse had done reining, and he'd done a lot of stuff. And then I bought an Arabian Colt, a long yearling, and then got with a trainer, and just started working on him. And he was a semi-finalist in the Snaffle Bit Futurity, SoCal Snaffle Bit Futurity. And then he was top five in the regionals, both English and Western.
Wow.
So I had him until he passed away at 34.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. Wow. He's the one that did the handicapped riding. I had a handicapped riding program through my training center. In fact, Naomi Scott wrote a book, Special Needs, Special Horses, that was published by the University of Texas Press. And he's in there. He taught a lot of people with some severe handicaps, stroke victims, Bell's palsy. He worked with Dana Elkar, who was the original boss on the original MacGyver.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I met Dana Elkar when he was losing his sight to retinitis pigmentosa, and he had sent me a horse of his, a mare named Choya, to train. And so I was able to work with him, and he could experience his love of horses by using the sound and just his extraordinary sensory perception. He could lunge horses and reverse them and work with them that way. So, you know, that's one of the blessings in my life.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that is amazing. You know, they have MacGyver has come back now. They now have a new series called MacGyver. Mm-hmm. So be hard to be as good as that first one was, the original MacGyver show. But
it was
anyway.
Because they did a location shoot. You know, where I am in Ventura County is a great destination for a lot of production companies out of Hollywood. And MacGyver did one of their shows, one of their episodes was filmed at one of the ranches that I was working on, Rancho Cabrillo in Wheeler Canyon. And the whole cast and crew was there, and the guest stars were Kathy Lee, then later to be Gifford, and John Amos. So
oh, wow.
It's amazing, you know, how small the horse community can be.
Well, it really is. It really is. Well, we're going to take a listen to another one of your poems and come back and talk some more. And let's talk a little bit when we come back about who influenced you in your poetry, because that's an interesting story as well. But let's listen to one right now called Big Sky, and we're going to come back and talk more with Andrea Kidd in just a moment on the Campfire Cafe on Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
Somewhere out yonder in God's back country, like Kuyama or on the Sespe, a tall good man sits a solid good horse and rides the river's roundabout course. Keeping an eye on the sky, gathering clouds predict rain, and the cattle he's driving ain't tame. He settles the herd, and they shelter a while. If they spook, they can scatter for miles. The wind starts to blow, the rain starts to fall. He tips the brim on his worn resist all. Under its slicker he's dry, his gloves keep him warm, and he patiently waits out the storm. The rain stops and moves west. It didn't last long. Now the cowboy and calves move along. Fluffy clouds overhead in a big azure sky. The time and the miles go by. The rain settled the dust. The herd keeps a good pace. The warm sun feels good on his face. He's out on the Sespe, riding along. He's content as he hums an old song. He stops when the cattle need water, and while they graze and drink, he finds some shade. He stretches out and gets time to rest and to think. He knows God loves a cowboy. Why else would he make range? Without wranglers, boots, and rodeos, wouldn't life just be too dang strange? And of course he made country music and lots of open sky. There's no doubt that the big boss is a regular stand-up guy. Now there's a brand to ride for, make a cowboy proud. Someday I'll work the Big Sky Ranch, the cowboy says out loud. He swings back in his saddle, smooths his horse's mane, and at peace and at one with his maker, he and his herd ride on again.
Welcome back to Campfire Cafe with our guest, Andrea Kidd. We've been listening to Big Sky off of her first CD project, Sespe Sky. And welcome back, Andrea.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here with you guys. This is a great adventure.
So I think there was a woman in your life that was quite influential. Tell us a little bit about your grandma.
Well, my grandma, her name was Elizabeth Jameson Davis, and her daddy was a blacksmith out of St. Louis, Missouri. And she journeyed out here after she graduated medical school in the late 1800s on a train, and she was a physician for the Los Angeles County School System for over 30 years. And so she was the original can-do lady in my life. I mean, she was so
capable.
She was
the original Dr. Quinn medicine woman. She graduated in the late 1800s. That's amazing, Andrea.
Yes, yes. And she was a person that believed that you what you put into yourself, your mind, and how you developed yourself, you should have what they called back then accomplishments. So you should, you know, try to expand your horizon. So she's the one that started me, you know, working on memorization and learning my memory verses, you know, for Sunday school. And also exposed me to like the Midnight Ride of Paul Revere and the Highwaymen. She knew better than to introduce anything that didn't have horses in it. So she had my attention. She knew how to get to me. And so my grandma was a great inspiration to me. And in fact, she bought me my first show saddle. And it was a Circle Y saddle, had a little bit of silver on it from Clark Feed and Western Store in Paramount. And my friend Rick Knabb, his parents owned that store. And I silvered the rest of that saddle with prize money that I won on my Arabian.
Oh,
and
wow.
So, yeah, my grandma, you know, got me started. And then when I got to middle school, I had a teacher, again, that really believed that your memorization, your appreciation of art and poetry and things like that really expanded your intellect and your horizons. And so at the time, there was every year, there was the American Legion Essay Contest. And you had 500 words, and it was on a subject. And you turned it in, and then they were evaluated, and there were prizes that were given out. And in eighth grade, I was top five in the American Legion Essay Contest, and my submission was the only one that was written entirely in verse. So that was my first success, if you will, of my poetry, but followed soon after. Another student, Chris Nelson, and I worked with our music teacher at McGaw School in Seal Beach, and we co-wrote the lyrics for our junior high alma mater.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, that was kind of a big deal back in the day.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's, success builds success. A winner will, once you're a winner, you always try to win. And I think that was the big takeaway from all of that. You're not afraid to try, and you know what it feels like to succeed. So you're willing to make effort, you know, to do that. So after those beginnings, I wrote for the poetry and the English submissions in high school. I've always written poetry, even when I was a little kid, but it just grew to be more and more and more. And it wasn't until I moved up to Ventura County that I really saw real cowboy poets. You know, that's when Baxter Black was really making a name, you know, for cowboy poetry, really getting it out there. It was something that people did and people talked about around the campfire and at gatherings and things like that. But Mr. Lou Hanghold, who owned the mill, which was an agricultural and equestrian supply in Santa Paula, California, he invited me to perform at the California Vaquero Show, the annual California Vaquero Show that they held at the mill every year. And the poem that you just heard, Big Sky, that was written to his wife, Polly Hanghold, after he passed away, and it's in the historical archives in Santa Paula.
Oh, wow. How cool. Ooh. That is pretty cool. That is so cool. Well, when did you actually start your career as a trainer?
In 1978, I moved up here to Ventura County, and I, in the middle of quarter horse country. I mean, they could be Palomino, they could be paint, they could be whatever, but they needed to be quarter horses, unless they went over fences and did dressage. Then they could be in the thoroughbred, you know, warm blood category.
Blood.
And
right.
Here I was on an Arabian, and people would just kind of, you know, look at you out of the corner of their eye. And but I had a quarter horse trainer, and pretty soon I was winning buckles, and I was used to riding, you know, a hotter horse. And so then people with Morgans and Saddlebreds and Tennessee Walkers, they were seeking me out for, you know, for help. So I wasn't here very long, and Mr. Hangold at the mill put my name out there, and it was 8 years before I even had business cards. It was just word of mouth.
Oh, wow. Well, that's the best way to do business.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Best way to do business. Well,
and so when I got started, that's how, you know, I started on advice. But, you know, when you want to be a trainer, you got to have horses there that are all there all the time, and you're getting
right.
trained. And so that's how I came to starting some BLM Mustangs. And once I was a success with those, then you know, the customers started rolling in.
Oh, gosh. Well, through your years of training, you've had to have had some interesting experiences with horses. Is there one that's more interesting than others to you?
Well, from the poetry standpoint, there's one, because it's a BLM Mustang that I broke named Bucky. And this Mustang was one of the prettiest horses that I'd seen, regardless of, you know, of pedigree or background. And I'd already trained a mare for this family, and they came by this beautiful buckskin Mustang colt. It was out of Nevada. And I wasn't the first person to start him. Somebody else had tried and failed. They took the shortcut, and they drugged him, and while he was out, they saddled him. And when he came to, there was a man on his back, and things just, you know, went downhill from there. And so Bucky'd been lied to. I mean, horses have an acute sense of justice, and Bucky had been actually trained to be even more suspicious. And so when they brought him to me, excuse me, that trailer was just rocking and rolling coming down the driveway.
Oh, wow.
And so we opened up the side windows, and I looked in at him, and he looked in at me and looked out at me, and we both just were like, huh, where is this going to go? But little by little, I gained his trust, and I thought I was ready to go. You know, we went through all his steps. Sent him out, you know, lunged him, gave him every chance to settle and everything like that. And I climbed up on him for the first time, and he was quiet. And then all of a sudden, he just exploded. I mean, it was like in the poem, it says, there came a riot. And, I mean, he bucked like the best rodeo bronc. I mean, his nose was between his front feet all the way underneath him. You know, it was just blown back to his tail. And we were pitching, and my experience says, find the fence, it is your friend. Well, we got to the fence, and I was still aboard, and he tried to fit through the bars. And when he couldn't do that, he tried to climb out of the arena. And fortunately, the guy that was working the ranch, Staben, he grabbed his hat and fanned it in Bucky's face, and he came down off the fence. And both of us were just like... standing there in the arena, Bucky's dripping wet, so was I, and he kind of shook his head and looked around. But from then on, it's like we just rode as a team. Like Doug Figgs in one of his songs says, we're associates.
Yeah,
it was great.
Oh, gosh. Well, let's listen to the poem, because this tells it all right here. And let's listen to Bucky and come back and talk more with the fascinating Andrea Kidd on the Campfire Cafe.
Thank you.
That Mustang colt was a pretty one. and the owner wanted training done. His buckskin coat, golden peanut butter. He'd roam Nevada with his mother. In the trailer there was quite a din, and it took some time to settle him. So they introduced their colt to me, this heller born so wild and free. But he got out without a scratch. He didn't lead and was hard to catch. He liked and trusted me enough. From his eyes I knew he would be tough. So easy does it, day by day, and solid groundwork I did lay. Then came the day I did decide it was time for Bucky's first time ride. I went through all our well-learned steps, saddled, bridled, and ready, yet I thought a lunch would do him good by the looks of how that buckskin stood. So I sent him out along the rail to take the kink out of his tail. And as he trotted round and round, I believe my plan was truly sound. He did all that I asked of him, and to be sure, I asked again for all commands, and he complied. I decided Buck was okay to ride. I softly spoke as I climbed aboard and picked a spot to head him toward. I made it up and he stood quiet, and in one split second there came a riot. He bucked and fished and rolled his butt. I hung on, but I'll tell you what, his nose is blown back to his tail as we pitch toward that corral rail. I leaned way back and squeezed my knees to stay aboard and match his energies. I thought one way the fight to end was use the fence. It is your friend. But Bucky had another plan, live to be free and not with man. As he commenced my bones to jar, we crashed into those metal bars. I lost all track of space and time as Bucky on those bars did climb. On the first two he did horse ballet, then his hind legs just got in the way. But he was close to being free. He'd forgotten all about me, and never mind the reins and bit, between the bars he tried to fit. Then front feet over the top rail, his back legs clambered as he tried to scale the arena bars just like a ladder. His bellers mixed with all the clatter, but in his face quick as a cat, a ranch hand fanned his cowboy hat. And Bucky came down off that fence with all the bars left tweaked and bent. When Bucky came back on the ground, he shook his head and looked around. His golden coat was dripping wet, but his ears had lost their wicked set. I pressed my legs for him to walk, and this he did without a balk. And then we jogged, and then we loped. Next we turned, and then we wode. As he cooled, I talked to Bucky and told him we had both been lucky. I was glad he'd seen the light, though I respected well his urge to fight. For he was born so wild and free. To survive was bred instinctively. His Mustang blood was set for flight, for freedom fought with all his might. The folks who'd seen that rodeo were just amazed and asked to know what I did or a sly technique. I said, I'm no gunsel, there's no magic. It's really simple, plain to see. It came down to his trust in me. We might have had a heller start, but we wound up with each other's heart. From that first day, we rode as one. He learned so well, my job was done. I said goodbye and hugged his neck. He loaded up like what the heck. All grown up and on his way, as the trailer left, I heard him neigh. I guess I got dust in my eye, 'cause cowgirls hardly ever cry. Good on you, Bucky.
That is a great story. That is a great story. And, you know,
I guess,
Andrea, as you know, and by the way, Bucky went on to have a good life, didn't he?
Absolutely. I mean, he lived up into his 20s that I know of. The family and I lost touch probably about 5 years ago. But up until then, Bucky was still toting kids around and taking, you know, family trips back into the Sespe. So, no, he was loved and well cared for.
Wow, that's great. Well, I would imagine that having horses in your life that came through for training, you might have got dust in your eye more than one time when one left.
Yeah, I did. And you know, that's the story of BioSalute, the stallion. After the owner told me that he wasn't going to sell to my client because the horse didn't want to be gelded, that he found somebody, and he said they'd be there to pick him up in a couple days. So I got to the barn early. You know, I brushed him up, brushed the stallion up, got all his equipment, you know, ready to go. And when I got there, it was early, you know. It was about 8 o'clock in the morning. There was this beat-up pickup truck. I mean, just beat-up pickup truck with this just rickety trailer hooked onto it with a ramp that was seen better days. I was scared to step on it. And probably about 2 feet of manure in the trailer. And there was two old boys leaning up against the truck and trailer having a beer. And as you could tell, it wasn't their first beer at 8 o'clock in the morning. And I was shocked. My stomach dropped to my feet. So they said they were there to pick up Salute. They'd bought him. And I said, well, I really love him. You know, can I go get him and load him in the trailer? You know, just say goodbye to him. And they said, oh, sure, honey, you just do whatever you want. So I went into Salute's stall and put the halter on him. And I was petting him, and by that time I had a lump in my throat. And I looked him right in the eye, and I said, Saluti, that's what I called him, was Saluti. I said, never, under any circumstances, let these people know how well-trained you are or how smart you are. Just do what they ask you to do, no matter how bad it is. Don't fight back. Just don't do it. Just go with God. And I loaded him in the trailer, and of course, you know, I was shaking. I put him in that nasty trailer, and they threw up the tailboard, the ramp, and they drove out of there like they were hauling, you know, like gardening equipment or something. I mean, they're just rocking and rolling out of that place. And I went into my tack room office and closed the door, and I cried, and I cried, and I cried. And I promised the good Lord right then and there that I would be a guardian of his horses, and that I would never in the future ever educate a horse beyond what I thought his destination was going to be, because I didn't want him to know what betrayal was. I'd rather have him not, you know, not understand what, you know, some human beings are capable of. And so it was about a year and a half or so later, I get a call from this lady. She said, are you Andrea Kidd? I said, well, yes, I am. And she goes, well, everybody I talk to, all the way from Ojai over to Simi Valley and Thousand Oaks, whether it's a shoer, a vet, a hay supplier, a tack store, horse owners, they all told me to call you, and they had your phone number. So I'm calling you. And I said, yes, how can I help you? She said, do you remember a horse named BioSalute? And I just started crying. And she said, I have him. I rescued him. And I just said, where are you? How do I find you? And I got all the information. I called a couple of my clients, said, call everybody else. The barn is closed. And I tore out of there. and she'd rescued him from a 12-by-12 corral, starving to death with sheep and goats and chickens. And she got him, and she gelded him, and I got them started together, and they were companions from then on. So it had a happy wow. ending after all.
Wow, wow, wow. Another great story. Another great story. Well, we are running out of time, and I've got more poetry that I want to get to. And there's so many good ones on here. I'm not sure what I want to do. This I'm going to one that's a little bit different. It's called "I'm Here." You want to tell us about
this?
That's
a true story. That's a
tell
true,
us about this one.
There was a time in my life where I worked with a gentleman out of Hollywood. He was in a production company down there, and he and his second family were interested in giving his daughter the opportunity of horses. So he made a deal with me. His name was Harold Schneider, and Harold said, "If I'll buy the horses and do the hard costs, if you put in the time and the training and the promotion and the marketing and the showing, and then we'll back out our expenses and we'll split the profit." And it was great because I have some great connections and we got some awesome horses. We got, probably 5 or 6 years. And then they built a big home in Ojai, and it just settled in. And at 53 years old, he passed away suddenly. And his widow told me, "The horses are your deal. You're on your own." And so I had lesson horses. I had about 6 of these horses that we were marketing, and then plus my own couple show horses. So I had 12 or 14 horses that I was suddenly entirely responsible for seeing to their care and upkeep. And I got a job in an Italian restaurant waiting tables at night after about 10-hour days at the ranch. And I came home one night, and I was so exhausted I couldn't feel my arms and legs. And I remember just laying down on my bed and feeling a tear trickle out of my eye. And it's like, "Lord, I'm doing the best I can. And if there's something more I should be doing, I need to know. But do you know I'm here?" And I'm laying there, and I'm listening to the crickets chirp and the coyotes howl, and I was just whispering, "Lord, it's me. I'm here. And what do I do now?" Because I knew I was running out of rope. I knew I was running out of rope. And I fell asleep, and I don't know for how long, but I woke up, and the poem that you hear was exactly the way it is in my head. And I wrote it down and went back to sleep. I just fell asleep. I had this peace come over me. And, of course, the next morning when I woke up, I looked at my nightstand like it might have been a rattlesnake curled up there. Because it might have been the ravings of a madwoman that was written on that paper. And when I was reading it, the tune that you hear was already in my head. And I promised the good Lord that when and if I ever had a chance to share it, the poem, and find someone, because I don't write music, I don't read music, I am not that person. I had to have help getting the music written down, that I would always share that story, that when times are tough and you think that you're out of rope, you're running out of rope, yeah, the Lord knows you're there. He does.
Well, let's take a listen to "I'm Here" by Andrea Kidd, and we'll come back in a moment on the Campfire Cafe.
I'm tired. I'm just so tired. I don't know what I'm gonna do. I can't give up. So much depends on me.
The waters of my life were rough, and I was sinking down. I thought that I had had enough, and this time I would drown. It was not for lack of courage, 'cause I'd really tried so hard. But the current was against me, Lord, and I was really getting tired. So bless me, dear sweet Jesus, for all that I done good. Wash me like a little lamb when I don't live like I should. And for your love, sweet Jesus, for what it means to me, I'll keep your faith until the end. I am your child, amen. Lying there upon my bed, so far away from home, thoughts raced all around my head. I was afraid and all alone. I'd given everything I had, I'd given it my all. I'm here just like your one lost lamb. I need the shepherd's call. As the night closed all around me, Lord, I lost all track of time. Did you know that I was here? I waited for a sign. Outside I heard the crickets chirp, I heard the coyotes howl. I whispered, Lord, it's me, I'm here, and what should I do now? But all I heard was silence, and then it dawned on me. All the sudden quiet was your sign, you're here for me. So thank you, Lord, for giving me this precious gift of life. For all your deep forgiveness and help in times of strife. So bless me, dear sweet Jesus, for all that I've done good. Wash me like a little lamb when I don't live like I should. And for your love, sweet Jesus, for what it means to me, I'll keep your faith until the end. I am your child. Sometimes the road is rocky, sometimes the path so steep, but always here inside me, Lord, my soul for you to keep. So bless me, dear sweet Jesus, for all that I've done good, and wash me like a little lamb when I don't live like I should. And for your love, sweet Jesus, and for what it means to me, I'll keep your faith until the end. I am your child, amen. I am your child, amen.
We're talking with guest Andrea Kidd, and we just listened to I'm Here from her first CD, Sesame Sky, just an autobiographical piece. Her poetry is so much inspired by her life. Andrea, welcome back.
Hey, it's good to be here.
You and I met at the Santa Clarita Cowboy Festival a number of years ago. You were waiting in line to make some purchases, as I recall, and you gave me your business card, and somehow we caught up with each other maybe a year or two later. You, I think, gave me a copy of Sesame Sky, and then you had a wreck. Is that the right order of things?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
I had just completed the Sesame Sky CD, and we had just had the release party around the Thanksgiving time in 2012, and we were getting ready to promote the album. And I was driving down Highway 118 in the rural section of it in Ventura County, and an 18-wheeler coming in the opposite direction on a downhill curve, his load strap broke, and his entire load of steel plates on the flatbed trailer came down on me and my car. So that was a life changer. I went in and out of consciousness about three times. The wreck took a long time. And when it was all said and done, I had broken bones and punctured lung, and my right hand was off the end of my arm with compound fractures, and I knew it was a game changer. I knew at that moment there'd been a wrinkle in time. So it took months of rehabilitation, and that's how I really connected with you, because you were so supportive. I had my right hand was in dressings and then cast and had skewers through it and everything else. And I'm typing one hand on Facebook and doing Reverb Nation, and Bobby Jean Bell and Out West believed in me.
Well, you have quite a fan club there, my friend. So I know there were lots of people that were supporting you through that really challenging time.
It was rough. The wreck was in 2012, and it was April of 2014 before I could climb back on a horse again. And by that time, we were in the middle of doing the second CD. And I have to say, my doctors and my therapist, they believed in me. They knew my passion was to, and my life was built around the horses. And they did everything that they could to give me as much of my life back as they possibly could. So, you know, the cowboy poetry got pushed more to the forefront. The horse training, it went away. I still, you know, with friends, they'll ride their horses for me, and I get on friends. I got on Katie Ryan's real nice gelding, Shiloh, and then I've done, you know, the poetry at the Scottsdale Arabian Horse Show, which is the largest Arabian horse show in the world. And they had a live stream, and I was entertainment for the celebrity ride and slide. And then I've been able to do California Women for Agriculture, California Dressage Society, and Taste of Local, another agricultural event in the Ventura County Cattlemen's Association. So that, and then of course my experience over the years of riding and training horses to national and world level, I just switched my focus, and I'm working on using my certified equine appraisal skills and consulting for litigation that involves equines, horses.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the Sesame Sky, I would just want to go back to that for a moment, because it was
sure.
nominated 2013 and 2014 Cowboy Poetry Album of the Year, I think.
Yes, and then
in a row.
Yes, and then Sesame yeah. Lullaby got nominated one time, I think.
Well, and you do a lot with Reverb Nation. I remember you telling me one time that you had one fan.
Oh yeah, I started
Everybody
with a fan.
One, though, right?
I had a fan, yes.
And was that fan like in Sweden or somewhere? It was
Iceland.
In the States, I don't think.
Yeah, Iceland, and then all of a sudden it started going on the continent through Scandinavia, and then into England, and then over into Italy, and then Country Music Radio Switzerland put me on their playlist, and that's when I was doing the happy dance.
Well, and your producer, Affirm Records, I mean, you're one of the few Western artists that I know that is not independently, you know, creating. I mean, you are blessed to be with Affirm Records. So you could actually be nominated for a Grammy with a
yes.
new project sometime down the road, right?
Exactly. That's it. That's, you know, kind of like my horizon. I would really like for that to happen because there's so many talented people in the Western Music Association that have gotten a lot of international and national acclaim. And the rules in the music business are such that, you know, you have to take certain paths. So I want to go to Nashville and work on some of my lyrics. You know, poems are great, but if I could get some of them, someone interested in setting them to music or collaborating with someone to put them to music and then releasing it like that, that would be awesome. That would be
Welcome.
Awesome.
Yep. Come on down, because we're ready for you in Nashville.
Oh, that'd
yeah,
be
we've
so
got a
great.
Contact in Nashville, Andrea. His name's Gary Holt. You know, I don't know if you know him, but he's a great
I've heard of that guy. He's great. We should take Madame Lasagna to Nashville.
They would love that. They would love that. They would love that. Well, if you get to Nashville, you be sure and let me know you're coming.
Oh, thank you so much. And when I do, I will, for sure, my friend.
All right. Look forward
Andrea,
to that.
Let's make sure that all of our listeners know how to find you. I know you have a variety of places. Tell us where they can find you.
They can find me on Facebook, Andrea Kidd Musical Cowboy Poetry. They can find me on Reverb Nation, Andrea Kidd. And they can find me with Affirm Records. And you can just reach out, talk to me. I'm still a working cowgirl, so I don't have a secretary.
You do it all.
I do. But I have a lot of great hats and a lot of great outfits from out
yes.
west. We didn't talk about my cowgirl fashionista.
Well, I posted today some pictures that really, you know, give us that that model look. I tell you, Gary, when this gal walks in the room, you just, you know, you just check her out from head to toe. You can't help it.
I got the best friends.
Yeah. Well,
add a belt buckle and a
yeah, add a buckle. You got to add a buckle.
Add a buckle and a smile, and you can't go wrong, right?
There you That's go. Right. You going to be at WMA this year?
I'm not going to be able to. My mom is having a heart procedure down at Cedars-Sinai. So I'm going to be sticking around. She's 91 years old. And so I'm going to be available for that. But
right.
next go around, I'll be there.
There you go. Well, you have been so much fun to talk with today and to share your stories. And there is so much more we could have talked about. So we'll have to get you to promise to come back and be with us again.
Absolutely. I would love to. I've enjoyed being on the show so much. You guys are just great.
Well, thank you so much. And we're going to close out this segment with the title cut from Sespe Lullaby and share that with our audience. And Andrea, we look forward to talking with you very, very soon. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You guys have a great rest of the day.
All right. You too.
Thanks.
You're out riding on the rim rock just as the stars are coming out and the fiery glow of the western sky lights up the drifting clouds. You've been out there riding on the Sespe where you can still see condors fly. It's almost dark and you're almost home. You're glad you took this ride. fiercely colored sunset skies. Then comes the twilight that begins the change to shadowed mountains into jagged silhouettes. The moon comes up and peaks above the darkened mountain range and climbs up high in a velvet sky, then sets sail across the night. The moonlight is God's lantern, and while we sleep and dream, his angels keep watch over us beneath his silver beams. You sit there in your saddle, and everywhere you look, the wonder of the Sespe imprints the ride you took. Back at the ranch, your horse unsaddled, you exchange contented sighs as you brush them good and turn them out to graze and dream under Sespe skies. A cowgirl's finished with her chores and says adieu in waiting light. You hang your hat and then wash up to daylight's soft goodbye. All the critters, great and small, are safe and bedded for the night. The gentle breeze and twinkling stars sing a Sespe lullaby. The moonlight is God's lantern, shining in the nighttime sky. Drifting off, you fall asleep to a Sespe lullaby. While the world's asleep, you dream your dreams to a coyote's lonesome cry. And cowgirls sleep and dream their dreams to a Sespe lullaby. You fall asleep and dream your dreams to a Sespe lullaby.
Well, that's Andrea Kidd's Sespe Lullaby from the CD of the same name. And Bobby, we could have just talked to her for another hour.
Oh, she's so entertaining. She's got so many stories.
So many stories that we could have gotten into, and so many folks that we all know, both in the music and the horse world, that we could just, we could have told tales on some of these folks. So we look forward to having her back again. But anyway, it was a fun show. And, what's going on out west?
Well, let's see. What's going on out west? Well, we had a wonderful concert last Thursday night with Eli Barcy and John Cunningham. That was really fun, and that should be up, available to view in the very near future. Really fun show. I know Eli's going to be with us here on Campfire Cafe, I think October 13th, is it? Let me just check the schedule here.
She'll be October the 13th.
Yes, she'll be with us on the 13th. And we've got Carrie Grumbacher coming in the fourth Thursday in October. He was a guest with us last year, I think, on Campfire Cafe, coming in from New Orleans. So we're kind of gearing up for Carrie. Hard to believe that our concert series year is almost over. We've got Carrie and then Dennis J coming in from Texas in November. And then this year's concert series will be put to bed.
All right. Well, you just stay such a busy girl all the time. And then you've got a radio show to do this evening on the Writer's Block.
Yes, we do. And it actually will be a repeat, but I have put the link to the show on our homepage. We've got Craig Johnson coming back in tonight. Craig is the creator of the Longmire book series. We interviewed him in early January. The Longmire series is starting its next season, I think, this week. And due to a couple of personal situations, neither Jim, Christina, nor I could be on the show tonight, so we thought perfect to bring Craig's interview back. It was fantastic. If you love Longmire, go ahead and take a listen to that show tonight at 7 o'clock.
All right,
LA Talk Radio.
And I heard that show when he was on, so it's worth a second listen tonight on LA Talk Radio with the Writer's Block. And talk about the guests that we've got coming up in October. You know, by the way, people have loved this series that we've done in September with Cowgirls Rule. And hasn't it been a fun month with all of these
It has guests? Been. It yeah, has been. It's been a really fun month. Kind of fun, you know, we haven't, you and I haven't really talked about thematically, you know, looking at every month that way, but we maybe ought to do that with a few months out of a year.
Well, it'd be kind of fun to do that. We may need to give the Cowboys their day in the saddle, too.
Yeah, I think so. Or, yeah, absolutely. Then there could be some other fun themes that we, you know, like everybody out of New Mexico, or everybody's out of, you know, they're west of the Mississippi, or they're east of the Mississippi, or, you know, we could do some fun themes.
Yeah, we could have a Western Swing month and all kinds of yes. different things.
Yes.
But anyway,
hey,
we've got
a listener of this show. Why don't you drop Gary an email or give us a comment on Facebook what you'd like to hear.
That's right. We'd love to hear from you. We always enjoy hearing from our audience out there. But we've got a great month coming up in October. We've got Mary Kay is going to come be with us next Thursday. She'll be celebrating her birthday with us. And so we may invite some of our audience to call in and wish Mary Kay a happy birthday. But that's next Thursday, yeah. beginning at noon on the Campfire Cafe. And then we have Eli Barcy on the 13th that will be with us. And then Janice Deardorff on the 20th. And then Dennis Jay, who's wrapping the Out West series up in November, will be with us on the 27th. So a lot of great musical guests. And for Saddle Up America, we have some just really exciting folks. We've got the legendary Smoke Elser that will be joining us next week. And they've done several documentaries. PBS did a great documentary on Smoke called 3 Miles an Hour. And he is just a legendary outfitter in the Bob Marshall. So Smoke will be joining us next week with Jim McGarvey with Backcountry Horsemen of America. And then Robert, the Trailmeister Eversole, will be with us. And then Lisa Dearson will be joining us on the 20th. She puts on the Equus Film Festival in New York. And so she's going to be joining us to talk about that event. And then we have a gentleman named John McDonald that has done a interesting documentary called Three Mules. And he'll be joining us on the 27th. And this is a documentary, Bobby, about a fellow that has lived for the last 30 years outdoors, traveling throughout California and using his mules and living outdoors and traveling that way. So a lot of interesting shows coming up in the month of October on both the Campfire Cafe and Saddle Up America. And of course, we want to recognize our sponsors again. You'll find those sponsors on our website at equestrianlegacy.net. Those are the fine sponsors you'll find in the general store, the horse campgrounds and guest ranches, and our equestrian properties. And all of those sponsors you can find at our website at equestrianlegacy.net. Well, any closing thoughts that you have for us today?
I have just one. There is no rational reason to remain a pessimist in a world full of so many miracles. If you don't believe in miracles, perhaps you've forgotten you are one.
That's a great thought. And Andrea would certainly agree with the miracle thing, wouldn't
yes.
she?
Yes,
certainly
absolutely.
Would agree with that. Living testimony to that. But anyway, it's been a fun show. Always great to have you with us, Bobby. And we're looking forward to next Thursday's show. We want to remind you that you can tune in on Sundays for Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale. And Belinda always has interesting guests that join her to share their stories and their great music. And that begins at 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings. And then again, Thursdays for the Campfire Cafe at noon and Saddle Up America following that. And all of the shows are archived. So if you've missed a show, you can go back and find those on our website as well at equestrianlegacy.net. And we're going to close the show out today with a great song from next week's guest. It's called Women and Horses. And I think a good way to end up the month of September where cowgirls rule. And we remind you, as always, if you climb in the saddle, get ready for the ride on Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net. Bobby, we'll see you next Thursday on the radio.
All right. Have a good week.
You too.
Was relentless in falling and turning to make its escape from the mountain terrain, then seemingly tired of its tumbling and churning, it slows for rest as it spreads across the plain. And then where it widens in cool rocky for eons of floods made the wide valley floor, as sunlight through pines paints in dapples and stipples, a woman looks out from her rough cabin's door. The sun and the wind have both left their mark. They burn her and lash her from daybreak till dark. It's tough to compete with natural forces. This country's sure tough on women and horses. Women and horses. Women and deep in the grass, growing tall, thick and green. The fine-blooded mares and the foals they are raising go on with their commonplace daily routine. And far down the meadow, she sees the old gelding, a pensioner here to live out his life. Like her, this old pony is tired in aging. The pensions aren't paid to a cattleman's wife. There's chores every day, her work never stops. There's no time for rest, and she works till she she's not keeping score, but she wonders who's winning. This country's sure tough on horses and women. Horses and women. Horses and women. Once so soft has been taken by wrinkles. Her hair, once her glory, is frosted with gray. Her eyes are surrounded by crow's feet and crinkles. And youth fades a little with each passing day. But now from the doorway she spots the lone rider. She thinks of the obstacles they've overcome, and she smiles at the thought that he'll soon be beside her and scorn.
mourns that old adage repeated by some. Life's tough in this land, no one can deny, but she's got fresh air, the grass and the sky. She scorns city life and haughty discourses. This country's just right for women and horses. Women and horses. Women and horses.